Rabbos Gai in the middle of the parsha, smack in the middle of the parsha, the Revi in the parsha. After Yaakov gives the brachos to Yosef and to Ephraim and Manasseh, Yaakov called in his sons, all his sons. The pasuk says, "Vayikra Yaakov el banav." Yaakov calls into his sons, "Vayomer," and he says to them, "Hey, Osfu, gather my sons." Ve'agida lachem, and I'll tell you, "Es asher yikra eschem ba'acharis hayamim." Gather together, and I will tell you what will take place at the end of days. So says Yaakov to his children. Famous Rashi on the spot. We all know this Rashi. Says Rashi, "Ve'agida lachem, bikish Yaakov legalos esaketz." Yaakov wanted to go ahead and tell his children about the end of time. When Mashiach was going to come, the end of the galus, v'nistalkam imenu shechina, and he lost the shechina, and he was not able to tell his children about the time of Mashiach's coming. V'hischil lomar dvarim acherim. So instead of telling his children about the time of the kates, instead of telling them when the gula was going to come, he went ahead and told his children something else. What's the something else? We all know in the parashios, it's the brachos, quote unquote, which are given to Yaakov, from Yaakov to his sons, Reuven all the way through all of his children. Rabbosai, we have to understand this Rashi. And what I'm about to share with you, I saw yesterday in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov, where Yaakov Kamenetsky has this in the Sefer, a beautiful idea to understand and explain this Rashi, what took place exactly in Yaakov's mind as this all took place. Rabbosai, why did Yaakov Avinu want to tell his children about the kates? Why? Yaakov's about to die. He just has to leave his children with one message. What message does Yaakov want to leave with? He doesn't want to give them brachos. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. He wants to tell them the kates. Hey, Asfu, gather together and I'll tell you what's going to happen.
B'acharis hayamim.
The end of days. Thank you, Ezra. Why is that on Yaakov's mind as he's about to die, I will say? Says Rabbi Yaakov, you know why? Because Yaakov knows that his children are about to go into Golus. Yaakov knows that they're about to be in a very long exile in Mitzrayim for hundreds of years. And after them, their children are going to be in exile for thousands of years after that. And Yaakov wants to tell his children, "Hey, Chevra, listen carefully. Don't be misyaish. Don't worry in Golus. You're going to be in Golus. But there's going to be a Geula. You'll be able to get out of Golus." So Yaakov says to them, "Guys, come, gather together. I'm going to tell you how you can survive in the Golus. How are you going to survive in the Golus? By knowing there'll be a Geula. By knowing that the Golus is going to end, that will be the way that you can survive in Golus." And Yaakov wants to go ahead and tell them, "Hey, on such and such a date, fellas, there will be a Geula from the Golus that you're about to embark upon." But what happens? Yaakov loses it. Nistakum enu shechina. Hashem says, "Sorry, Yaakov, you can't tell them that." Why not? Why not? So Rabbi Yaakov Kanetsky explains like this. Why did Hashem not want Yaakov to tell them when the kates is going to be? Yeah, Hashem was scared. The kates, the redemption, is still a long time away. Such a long time away, they'll give up hope. They'll be misyayish. It's so far away. The Geula is going to be so many years and years and years and decades and centuries away. Oi! Forget about that. So Hashem said no. And Yaakov lost his chance to give them the time of the kates. So Yaakov's stuck. What am I going to do? I can't help them get through the Golus this way. I have to find a new way, a new path. But before that, what happens? The Gemara says, Yaakov's worried. Oi, Gevalt, he lost the Shechina. Why is he worried? What does he think? What does he think, fellas? Who remembers? He thinks, like, if maybe one of my children isn't worthy. Maybe there's a psul in one of my children. So what do all the children say to Yaakov? No. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Which Yaakov says, okay, fine, I see my children are okay. They're beseder. So what can I give them now to survive the Golus? Listen closely, Rabbi Yosef. Here's the word for today. Here's the idea. Says of Yaakov Kamenetsky, Yaakov Avinu is the paradigmatic survivor of Golus. Yaakov is one of the avos that helps us survive the Golus. And he tells his children, listen guys, I'm going to tell you how you can survive in Golas. You know how you can survive? Reuven, Bechori Ata. Kochi Vereshis Oni. Shimon Velevi Achim. Klei Chamas Mechero Seyem. Yehuda, Atayducha Achecha. He goes through all the brachos. And he tells them all, Chevra, my dear children, you each have a mission. You each have a destiny. You each have goals that are unique to you. And if you are mission-oriented, and if you are goal-oriented, and if you know what you're supposed to do throughout the Golus, you will survive. But if you go with the flow, and you just chill out, and go with the flow as things come, and however it comes, I'll deal with it when it comes, you ain't going to survive in Golus. And this is Yaakov's suggestion to his children. Guys, Abosai, my dear children, says Yaakov, you have your mission. You have your mission. Take your mission that you have and take it with you in Golas. And this way, that will help you get from the Golas to the Geula. I was having a conversation with a Talmud in this yeshiva a few days ago. And I said to the Talmud, you know, we're talking about some serious life matters. And the Talmud said to me, hey, Rebbe, don't worry about it. When it comes up, I'll deal with it. Right now, it's not so relevant. Right now, just kind of just chill it and go with the flow. And it's all good. It's all beseder. Don't worry, Rebbe. I'll be fine. I'll deal with it when it happens. I say to that Talmud, my dear sweet Talmud, you're missing the boat. Yaakov Avinu knew how to survive in Golas. Yaakov knew that the way to survive in Golas was not to go with the flow. If you try to go with the flow, there's going to be a lot of flows that are going to pull you in a lot of different directions, and they're going to make you unstable and make you very weary in different situations. But if you understand that you have a mission, fellas, if you understand that you have your particular plan and that you have to do that mission, you have to provide that mahalach for yourself, you'll be able to go ahead and deal with the flow. Abosai, what's the mission of the Jewish people? We all have a mission. We're part of the Jewish people. What's our mission? There's a famous phrase. It comes from the pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya. You know what our mission as a collective people is? What's our mission? Our mission is, like Yeshaya Hanavi says, to be Or LaGoyim. To be an Or LaGoyim. Our mission is to light up the world. Our mission is that we should show the world. You know, when it's very dark in a room, you can't see. All of a sudden someone comes in with a light, with a flashlight. Ah, and everything makes perfect sense. Ah, it's kvaldik. Now the whole perspective is clear. The world is very dark, a dark place. We're meant to light the world up, fellas. That's a global mission for Klal Yisrael. Or LaGoyim. That's our job. We have to be lit up ourselves to light the world up. That's a global mission. But Rabosa, we all know that in addition to the global mission of the Jewish people, to be an Am Kadosh, to be an Am Segula, to light the world up for the rest of the nations of the world, we each have our own individual mission as well. We all have a mission. How do I know that? What's my source? What's my proof to that? So the opening line, fellas, in the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim begins, Yesod HaChasidus, V'Shoresh HaAvodah Atzmi. What's my purpose? What's the purpose of it all? What's the foundation of everything? Is Sheyizbarer V'Yisametz Es HaAdam, that it should become clear to a person. Ma? Who knows the next two words? Okay, I'll tell them to you. Ma Chovaso Be'ola Mo. What is his mission, his obligation, his unique purpose, the olamo in his world? Because everybody is a world unto himself, fellas, and everybody has a mission unto himself. And we have to go ahead in life and try to fulfill our mission in life and to utilize our particular task in life. And what's our mission as individuals? How do I figure out what that is? I don't know what that is. So I'll share with you. I had a few discussions recently, fellas, with some of my Talmidim, my former Talmidim. They're still Talmidim, but they were in my shir last year. And many of them are on different college campuses, and some of them actually are in yeshiva right now, coming back to visit, and some are on their way to come to visit yeshiva. And I asked them, yeah, how is it? Some are in yeshiva university or other yeshivas across America, and others are in totally secular college campuses. And I asked them, point blank, guys, how you doing? Kids in NYU, give them a little shout out, NYU Chevra. There are fellas in other places as well, other colleges across the country. have a beautiful Talmud who's studying in the University of Florida. Wonderful. I asked them all, guys, point blank, what's the difference between the guys that are thriving and the guys that are not? How do you survive the winds and the storms and the challenges that one will face on a college campus? What's the difference between the guys that are doing great and the guys that are not? And almost invariably, right away, they said to me, here's the difference. The guys that came in with a plan, the guys that came in with a chavrusa, the guys that came in with a mission, are doing great. The guys that came in and decided, yeah, of course I know Torah is important, of course I'm going to learn, but when I have a chance to learn, I'll learn. When I have a chance to pick up a sefer, I'll learn. When I have a chance to daven, I'll daven. But it wasn't with a mission, it wasn't with a focus. Those guys are having a harder time, a much harder time, weathering the storms on the various different campuses that they're on. I suppose this is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is telling this to us all. If you want to weather storms, you have to live life with a mission. And you have to know your mission. And what is my mission? I don't know. There are a lot of people in this room. We don't have the same mission. We're going to all get jobs hopefully one day. Is that our mission in life? I have to tell you, I'm going to give a little shout out in the next 2 minutes of the shmooze to a biography that came out approximately a month ago. And I was in America for the yeshiva. I picked one up for my wife. She likes to read books about great people. So I bought this book for her as a Hanukkah present. It was no brainer. I was landing a few days before Hanukkah. I knew she wanted this book. I picked it up. By the way, she reads it. She's almost done with the book. It's almost 700 pages, this book. And I also get the fringe benefits, first of all, because I get to read it myself. And secondly, because she shares with me a lot of the beautiful insights that she got out of it. The book is written not about a gadol per se. Not about your classic gadol. It's not called Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, or Rabbi Yaakov. It's not called Rabbi Moshe. It's called Rabbi Scherer. I'm not sure how many people in this room heard of Rabbi Scherer. Rabbi Moshe Scherer is a chatzadik levracha. He passed away around 10 years ago, a little more. Rabbi Jonas Rosenblum, who was a great writer, he writes in many magazines and publications, spent the last 10 years researching his life and put together a biography of his life. A masterpiece. I recommend it highly. It's almost 700 pages. It's almost like a history book. It's tremendous. Who's Rabbi Moshe Scherer? Rabbi Moshe Scherer was a man, for the purposes of this shmooze, who lived with a mission. He was a man who was born and raised and lived with a mission. And that was a one mission, a single-focused mission, single-minded mission. And that mission was to help Klal Yisrael. That was his mission in life. He became the head of the famous organization called Agudas Yisrael. That's a major, major force in the Jewish world, in every area, in every arena. The Siyum HaShas, everyone knows the Siyum HaShas. Who runs the Siyum HaShas? Agudas Yisrael. That's one out of probably hundreds, if not thousands, of things that they're involved in. A massive organization. His life was lived with a mission. 700 pages of that book scream out one thing. His life was a mission. His mission was to help Klal Yisrael. He once ran into one of the secretaries that was just recently hired in Aguda and turned to the lady and said, "Hey, Mrs. So-and-so, welcome aboard. What's your name?" "Oh, okay." She told him his name. "Who do you work for?" She said back to him the name of the higher officer in the Aguda that she worked for. He says to her, "Sorry, welcome to the Aguda. In the Aguda, you work for Klal Yisrael. Maybe he's your boss, maybe he'll sign your paycheck. But here you work for Klal Yisrael." And he was notorious. I just read a few pages last night just to brush up for this talk. He had a way of convincing people to work for the Aguda. People that were very, very skilled, talented people. He wanted them to work for his organization. He went over to them, point blank, and said, "Hey, Rabbi Yid," over this guy's name happened to be Rabbi Nachum Dubinsky. He said to him, he was headed to be one of the most talented and accomplished accountants in this field. Graduated top of his class, very, very chashuv accountant. And he comes over to him and says, "Hey, how are you going to judge whether or not your life was successful? If you're a good accountant, are you going to be satisfied with your life at the end of the day if you are a good accountant?" And he touched nerves in this guy, and he touched chords, and he struck chords in this man's life. And the man decided, you know what, he's right. I'm not going to be satisfied with being an accountant. And he devoted many years of his life to helping the Aguda and Klal Yisrael. Fellas, This is the message that Yaakov Avinu was telling us in this parasha. Telling his children, telling us. We're hopefully at the very end of the Golus. And as we pointed out many times in the past, at the end of the Golus, the storm just gets more and more challenging, more and more difficult. And it's harder and harder to weather the storm. How do we weather it, fellas? What's the ticket? What's the secret? Yaakov tells us the secret. The secret is if we live with a mission. The secret is we look and we understand that there's a mission for our people, there's a mission for Klal Yisrael, and there's a mission, like Rav Sherry used to say, for Reb Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the global people of Klal Yisrael, and Reb Yisrael representing each and every single Jew in Israel. And if the more and more we live our lives with a mission, focused on what we should be doing, focused with a plan, with a mode of action, with a mahalach, with a plan of how to get to where we are, the more we'll be able to survive the Golios, and not just survive the Golios, but hopefully thrive and reach our potential in the challenging Golios that we live in. Bosei, great Shabbos.